sure thank the Lord for the song. It was so precious. We're going to talk tonight about the voice of Jesus talking to us. Voice of God. Some of the songs we sang went along with that. I'm so glad tonight that He is everything that we need. Thank the Lord that I have my Bible. My Bible was found. I thought I lost it in West Virginia. The Lord helped me to, it was found. Just put it that way. I'll tell you later if you want to come to me. But when it was found, I just cried because I thought I'd never see it again. And I cried when I lost it and I cried when I found it. So I just kind of thought, and I know that there's a great, you know, feeling of Jesus when maybe He thinks that someone will never get saved, or maybe I don't. He may not think that, but people might think that. But I know the Lord cries, and He's so happy anyway when He finds a soul that is saved. And you know, it's just like when you lose something so precious and then you find it again. It means so much to you. So I thank the Lord that I can preach out of it tonight. Anyway, I have the thought about the voice of the Lord, and it seemed like the Lord revealed the scripture to me in a greater way in Revelation 3 and the 21st. It said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." I always, you know, I think we used to have a picture, maybe it's in the old chapel, of Jesus knocking on the door, but anyway, we've seen that picture. And I always thought of that scripture, and I know it means that when someone gets saved and the Lord knocks at your door, and I always applied it every time I thought about that scripture. I just thought, that's right, the Lord knocked at people's door and they get saved, and the Lord knocked at my door and on my heart and I got saved. But the Lord revealed to me and made this so inspiring to me as I was reading it one day. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." And the Lord said, that wasn't just when you got saved. This is all the time. This is, you know, the Lord's just not going to save you 40 years ago or 50 years ago and then quit talking to you. But He's knocking at our door all the time. And I was just thinking how sweet that is, a song that He is everything we need. You know, He's the voice that we want to hear. And I don't know, I just hope tonight that this will just be personal to you, that the Lord will just make this very personal to you, that it'll inspire you how sweet it is when Jesus talks to us, when He wants to sup with us. And I looked up the word sup, and we kind of know what that means, but some of the definitions was, I had on this other, but anyway, it was like a small amount of food or a sip, you know, you have a sip of a drink, or you have a sup can also mean the evening meal, but it's all to do with drink and food and spiritual drinking and eating. And the Lord is wanting to sup with us. He's wanting, pardon? Well, that'd be good. A tea party with the Lord. Well, the Lord wants to drink, and He wants us to feed on His word, and He wants to open and reveal scriptures to us, and He wants them to be more inspired to us. It's just like, you know, how we can read that, and I just kind of thought, oh, that's when we get saved. Jesus knocks on our door, and I didn't think much about it. But the Lord revealed to me, inspired me with this thought, and gave me this message of through it that the Lord's talking to us all the time. He's knocking on our door all the time. He wants to sup with us. He wants to feed us. He wants to give us scriptures. He wants to talk to us and help us not to be too busy that we don't hear that knock or that voice, you know, when the Lord woos us. When he says, you know, come apart and pray. Take some time to pray. Or he wants you to read the Bible and how you can just feed on the Word of God and how it can just inspire you and bless you so much. And I don't know, there's many sweet things I've had in my life, but I'd have to say that's the sweetest of it all is when Jesus talks to us. When he reveals himself to us, it's a personal salvation. You know, it's so personal, and that's what the Lord wants us. He stands at the door and knocks on our heart, and he wants to be your Savior. He wants to be close to you and I personally, and he wants to reveal himself to us. And like the sister said earlier, that there was things that the Lord done for her that nobody else could really understand or maybe know about, but she knows it was the Lord. And one of these instances is how the Lord was talking to me about the scripture, and I was just feasting on it for quite a long time. And when we arrived home, I have this little Bible promise on our dresser, and I went and asked the Lord to give me a scripture. Don't you know I opened to the very promise was this verse. And I just stood there, and I had tears in my eyes. I just knew that the Lord was inspiring me. And you know, the Lord just wants to do that. He wants to talk to us, and he wants to inspire us, you know. I don't know, you know, it's like our cup runneth over. I know that we're full. I know that, but yet, even though we're full of salvation, and we have a full salvation, we still are hungry. I can't really explain it, but we never get tired of being fed. The children of God are looking forward to the meeting. I mean, they want to be fed. They want to be in a good service. And I remember hearing about an old sister one time. She got real elderly and she couldn't get out to the service. And she was feeling bad about it. But they said, do your desire is to be in that meeting? And she's, oh, yes. But she wasn't able physically to get there. But it was still that desire, that hungering. At those times, the Lord can talk to us. He can visit us. And I'm so glad that the Lord can do that. Over here in St. John 10, of course, we know that familiar scripture, but my sheep hear my voice. You know, that's a wonderful thing to be able to hear the Lord's voice when he talks to us, when he tells us to do something or whatever. But St. John 10 and 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I was just thinking about different times in our life when we heard the Lord's voice, but especially when, as a teenager, when the Lord began to talk to me. And I remember when I would just say that little prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. My mother had taught, Mother's Day wasn't real long ago, I guess last Sunday, but she taught me that as a child to pray that prayer. And so I would pray it every, I got up into my teenage years, and that was the way I communicated with God. I didn't really know any other way, so I would say that prayer every night before I went to sleep. And I figured that I was okay. You know, I just thought, well, I said my prayer. If I die tonight, I'll go to heaven. But you know, the Lord's voice came to me one night as I said that prayer. I might have been about 11 or 12, somewhere in there. Or maybe not quite a teenager, but I was saying, and the Lord began to talk to me, and he said, that prayer is not enough. It's good that you're praying, but it's not enough, Marcia. You need to get born again. You need to really get saved. And he began to talk to me, and I remember crying, and my pillow was so wet, because up to that point, I thought I was okay, and then the Lord said, no, that's not enough. You have to get born again. So it made me feel really bad. And so I just cried and cried, but I said, Lord, I just don't know where to go. I don't know what church to go to get saved. I was disappointed with the way I had been, you know, going where I went a couple times. And the Lord, I just wanted to know where to go so I could get saved. And so I started praying, Lord, reveal, lead me to the right church so I can get saved. And I started praying that way. And you know, the Lord opened up the door later on when I met Jerry and his family. But you know, the Lord, he is working in our lives. He's working in our lives. He'll come to us, his voice. My sheep hear my voice. And you know, we have that, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and they will follow me. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand, out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then there's another, I don't know exactly where that's at, but it says, other sheep I have, not this fold, but I must bring them. But the Lord does talk to people. And you know, I believe it would be good for us to pray, when we're praying for people, let's pray that the Lord's voice will talk to them. Now, we can do a lot of talking. We can do a lot of try to persuading. And sometimes it helps. But I find out sometimes, you know, all our persuading, all our talking seems sometimes to be no avail. But you know, if we'll pray that the Lord's voice will come to them in the still of the night, when they're quiet, in their quiet time, that the Lord's voice will talk to them. You know, that'll be more to them than all our talking when Jesus' voice, when he knocks at their door and they hear that knock. It'll be a personal thing. It'll be something they can hold on to. You know, that's what we all need. We need something. We need to know that we're saved. We need to know that God loves us. We know that Jesus is hearing our talking when he's talking to us. We need that. We need that as we go along in our life's journey. And everybody needs that. So we need to pray for sinners or lost ones that are not in our family, that's in our family or even not in our family, that the Lord's voice will speak to them. You know, God hears prayer. And he will do that. You know, like was mentioned, we're coming into a meeting. I was thinking that if Jesus' voice will talk to souls, we'll have a lot of good messages. I'm sure of that. And the Lord will be with us. We have faith to know that. But if the Lord's voice will talk to people, even now, prepare their hearts. Maybe even now the Lord would start talking. When they come, they'll hear his voice. And the Lord will knock at their door. And the Lord can sup with them. Oh, I just thank the Lord that the Lord is able to do that. I'd like to turn over a little bit here in Luke. You know, I thought about this. The Lord said to teach us to pray. You know, we need to know how to communicate with God, and we need to do a lot of it. Luke 11, the disciples were there, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And I won't go on, but it was the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, and it went on. But you know, the Lord wants us to be taught how to pray, and pray earnestly, fervently, correctly, humbly, and asking the Lord to come talk to us. You know, many times it seemed like if we would pray for the ministry, pray that the Lord's voice will talk to them and give us the messages that we need. You know, this is what we need. We need real inspiration. We need the ministry to be inspired by God. We need Jesus to talk to them. You know, we can pray that way. Meetings, good meetings, are prayed down. And we, like we were exhorted tonight, we can pray them down. I know physically we may get tired, and we may think an all-night prayer meeting is hard to do. Maybe all of us can stay all night long. But if we'll take turns in our hour or something, give an hour to the Lord or a couple hours to the Lord, you know, our bodies do get tired. We may not be able to do it the whole night long, but, you know, we can give our service to the Lord. If we all give our part, there'll be prayers going on all night. You know, that's what the Lord wants us to do. Teach us to pray, Lord, so we can hear your voice. We want you to talk to us. You know, during this meeting, I was thinking, Lord, talk to me. Individually, I'm saying this. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord, talk to me. You know, I want you, Lord, to talk to me. We want the Lord to talk to us. We want the Lord to reveal to us our needs. We want the Lord to encourage us. We want the Lord to bless us. I was thinking about some ways that the Lord, his voice comes to us. His voice comes so full of love. Did you ever feel in love by God? We never have we? We're always so full. He's so full of love. Even when he corrects us, even when he chastises us, it's always so full of love. The Lord comes gently. Gently is a gentle breeze. Maybe we're not even going to be aware sometime that the Lord's going to talk to us or visit us. We may be in the middle of some cares of life. We may be working on something, and all of a sudden, he gently comes to us and knocks our door. Or he may give us discipline, but it's always so sweet. I remember hearing about two sisters on the front row or something during a meeting, and the one, she just was praising God, thanking the Lord. Another sister knew, well, she wasn't up to that message, you know. And she says, why are you praising the Lord? And she said, well, because the Lord, I measured up right now. And the Lord is just blessing me right here. Because she's hearing his voice. And you know, the Lord, he comes with truthfulness. You know, he's a God of truth. That's what we love about the saints is we love truth. We do not want to be deceived. We do not want lies. We do not want anything like that. We want truth. We want to hear the truth. We want to hear the word of God preached right. That's good, isn't it? And God is a God of truthfulness. There's no lies in God. God never lies. He cannot lie. He's a God, a holy God. He has a voice of patience and purpose. I was just thinking, his voice teaches us patience. Have you ever prayed about something and the answer doesn't come? And you just say, Lord, help me to have patience. Help me to wait on you. And you know, I was thinking about Peter, you know, in the Bible. He just seemed to be a disciple that I would say, we might say that he didn't have a lot of patience. And it seemed like he wanted things done fast and he would react fast and err. And just like when the soldiers came to get Jesus and you're not going to take Jesus. And he takes the sword and cuts the man's ear off. The Lord, you know, heals the man's ear. He said, no, Peter, you know, we don't fight this way. He's always teaching Peter, you know, but he loved him anyways. He loved him just like he was, but he wanted to help him out. And that's the way with us. He loves us just like we are. And we all are different, all different personalities, but he loves us just like we are and he wants to help us. And he wants us to hear his voice. You know, when he arose from the grave, when he told the woman that was weeping, Mary, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. He wanted Peter to know that he forgave him, that he loved him. It seemed like that would be one of the worst things a person could ever do, is deny the Lord. But Peter was scared. He didn't want to be persecuted. But you know, I just think about how the Lord has patience with people. In the Bible, he had patience with people. And he still has patience with us. And the Lord's voice is a voice of purpose. His purpose is he wants to help us get to heaven. That's his purpose above everything. He lets us enjoy many things in life. But the purpose, the whole purpose, is he wants our soul to be saved. He wants us to stay saved. If there's anything that's the most important thing in this world, is for us to be saved and stay saved and stay encouraged. And that's what the Lord, and the Lord's voice also calls us to the gospel. He's always calling us to the gospel. His voice teaches us to deny the world and the worldly lusts, and He always wants us to call us to the gospel. It's so sweet, isn't it? His voice comes to us. I wrote down these different things. Voice of kindness. He's always kind to us. It's just overwhelming how He can be so kind to us when we may even not be kind to ourselves, and we feel like, well, I made a bad mistake there, and I'm just gonna feel so bad about that. And then the Lord will speak to us. I remember one time in Michigan, I had a girlfriend that was Catholic, and she, when I got saved, of course, you know, we didn't see each other much after that, but we talked a little bit on the phone a few times. But you know, won't go into detail, but I wanted to stay home and have one of my children at home. And so she called me one day and asked me which hospital I was going to go to. And I thought that I could get around it. And I was trying to get around it without lying. So I said, I just don't know. Well, when I hung up the phone, I knew you very well do know. And you slipped there. And I felt so bad. And I just cried and cried. And I got down to pray, and I felt so horrible that I had done that. I had made a terrible mistake. I thought I could do it without lying, but I slipped. And the Lord spoke to me and said, just call her back and ask forgiveness. Oh, and tell her the truth. Oh, but you know, the Lord helped me to do it. And she wasn't hard on me, but I thought she was going to persecute me. I had this all in my mind. You're going to get it. She's going to tell you this and tell you that. I was running from it. I didn't want to be persecuted. But when I was in prayer, the Lord spoke to me. This is what I'm saying tonight. His voice. Nobody else was dealing with me about this. But His voice was dealing with me. And He spoke to me. I was praying. He said, remember Peter. I heard that voice. Now you say, well, did you hear it out loud, Sister Marcia? Well, not really like out loud, but it was in my mind, in my heart. You know how the Lord talks to you? He said, remember Peter. I know His voice. He said that. And I said, Peter? I said, yes, you know, Peter denied me. He lied. He said, I don't know him. And He said, now I forgave Peter. I'll forgive you. I said, oh, that gave me so much courage. You know, isn't it? It's not good that these people slipped up in the Bible. But the Lord put it all in there. He put the bad and the good. Because He didn't want us to get discouraged. He didn't want us to give up. He wants us to go on and get encouraged. And He wants us to learn by these things that you don't have to fail. You don't have to do this. You can keep encouraged. You don't have to get discouraged. He loves. So God is a God of kindness. His voice. When we sup with Him, we can tell Jesus our disappointments. You know, we have disappointments in life. But, you know, we can tell Jesus about it. You know, I was just thinking, my father's been gone about a little over 4 years now. But, you know, of all my whole life, and I'm kind of, you might call me a dreamer, because I do dream, and some of the dreams sure was just dreams, you know. But the Lord has visited me through some of the dreams because they came to pass. So of all my whole life, I never dreamed about my father. But the Lord worked. When he died, the Lord let me have a dream. And I saw my dad. To my knowledge, I never remember dreaming about my father until he died. But he came to me, was walking, and stood there just as real. And I said, oh, Daddy, why did you go away? Why did you leave us? And he said, actually, in the dream, I saw my sister there, and I turned to her, and I said, there's Dad, you know. And then I turned back to him, and I said, there's Dad, Debbie. And I says, Dad, why did you leave us? Why'd you go away? And he said, it was the hardest thing I ever did. Honey, it was just the hardest thing I ever did, to leave you. And then I woke up, and I just cried. It was so real. But you know, the Lord let me have that just make me feel better, you know. Even though I did cry, you know, it still made me feel better because I still think about it. I still think about how he said it was the hardest thing he ever did. Now I know he loves me. He didn't die to hurt me or make me feel bad. He couldn't help it. But you know, Isn't it wonderful how the Lord is a God of love? How he ministers to us when we need it. When we're in times of grief like that, he gives us something that we need. His voice is just so sweet and so precious. It rings in your mind. Also, Jesus' voice is a voice of blessing. You know, in the Old Testament especially, that mentioned a lot, but the older ones that were dying, they would bless their children. They would speak blessings upon their children. And I was thinking, you know, we can do the same thing. We can speak blessings on our children. We can speak blessings on everyone. We can speak blessings on Guthrie. We can speak blessings, you know, like other congregation. Oh, old Guthrie. We can speak blessings on the United States. You know, we can do whatever God inspires us to do that's good, you know. You know, let us ask the Lord to help us, because he's a God of blessing. He doesn't curse us, but God sends blessings on us. And Lord, can't think of his name right now. It starts with J. Was Jasper, or am I saying it right? But anyway, he said, "Bless me indeed." Remember, his name was actually, his mother called, named his name, it was called Pain. That's what his name meant, was Pain. How would you like to be named Pain? Well, you're just a pain. You're just, you know, that's really great, you know. And through my life, I'll be gone. I'm Pain. But, you know, he just cried to the Lord, and he said, "Lord, bless me indeed. You see, I've been called Pain, but Lord, I want you to turn this, Lord, and bless me, and bless me indeed." He was blessed. You know, we can be blessed by God. His voice can bless us. I want the Lord to bless us. Pay attention to Jesus' voice. You know, isn't that true? I'm telling you, there's some times that the Lord spoke to me and I did not mind. I didn't do it. And I really didn't do it to not mind, or, you know, but I just thought, I really thought maybe it was my voice, or I was just thinking it. But later I found out it was the voice of the Lord. I found out I should have listened to that voice. Jesus speaks to us. And I'm not say this, but this was really a blessing to me, how the Lord spoke to me. When my dad died, he actually died on Rhonda's birthday, which is January 7th. And we were to go to lunch, her sisters were meeting at Rhonda's to go to lunch, and I was leaving that house that day. I expected to be home in just a couple of hours. And that all the plan I had was to go and have lunch and come right back home. I had work to do at home, and I didn't have any plans. And it was like, I didn't come home for, I think it was like 3 weeks when I left that day. But as I was leaving, well, I like to wear flat shoes. Sometimes I wear heels, but they're uncomfortable. And I know they're kind of pretty, but they're uncomfortable. And so I thought I'd wear these flat shoes. No, I thought I'd wear the heels that day because we're going to go out to lunch. But then the Lord spoke to me and said, "Bring some flat walking shoes." Now, I'm saying this, I don't mean to be funny. I'm just telling you, this was the Lord. This really meant a lot to me, because as when I would travel that day on the airport and stuff, it would have been very uncomfortable. And I thought, well, why do I need walking shoes? Because, you know, I'm coming straight home. And the Lord spoke, I started to go out the door, and the Lord spoke to me again, "Go get your walking shoes." I thought, I don't need walking shoes. I'm coming straight home. You know, and I know this sounds amusing, but the Lord talks to us. His voice, and I thought, well, I don't, you know, I'm coming straight home. I'm not planning on going shopping. I'm going right home. And I think it was like I started to go to the car. I don't know. It was like 3 or 4 times. And I thought, okay, Lord. I just said, "Lord." And I said, "I'll go get my walking shoes." I don't know why, but I'll put them in the car. And I put them in the car. And you know, I was so thankful, because as soon as I got the news that my daddy had dropped at the hospital and had a major, actually he had died, but they put him on life support, my sister called me, and Rhonda and them told me, "Mom, you don't have time to go home. If you're going to see your daddy, he might still be alive. You don't have time to to pack nothing, and they got me a couple little things. They said, we're taking you right to the airport, and I put those flat shoes on, and there I went. And I didn't return home for 3 weeks. The Lord's voice, how important it is, because He talks to us, not only to give us scriptures and feed on His word, but He warns us. And he tells us things that, you know, it's wonderful if we can just learn and be quiet enough in our heart and mind to hear His voice when He talks to us, when He tells us what we should do, which way we should go. I don't have the scripture right now. Some others may have it, but I believe it's in Isaiah 55 or somewhere in there. But it says, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye might want to turn to the right or left, you hear a voice behind you, this is the way, walk in it. You know, isn't it wonderful that the Lord will direct our pathway? We are just little children. I think about Moses said that. He said, I'm just like a child. I don't know how to go in or come out. He didn't know how to lead those children of Israel, how he was going to do it. It looked like too big of a job for him. But the Lord said, who made man's mouth? And who created, you know, you're dependent too much on yourself. You need to depend on the Lord. The Lord can do this through you. You know, isn't it wonderful that God can speak to us? He can encourage us. Go ahead and read it if you want to.
And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left.
Isn't that wonderful? Do we not need to hear the voice of God? Do we not need God's guidance in life? It's wonderful to hear the voice of the shepherd. The voice of the shepherd. There's a little bit more here in the Bible I wanted to read, but over here in Luke 24, this is a familiar. The two were walking on the road to Emmaus, and how the Lord spoke to them. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into... I'm sorry, they're right there. Luke 24 and 13 is where it starts. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, which is 2 miles, about 2 miles, I've written in my Bible. They talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together, reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, oh, isn't that true? How the Lord, when he visits us, how our heart burns within us when he talks to us and when he reveals those scriptures to us. This is a wonderful story. It's not make-believe either. It's a very true story. Jesus had died on the cross, but he didn't stay there. He came out of the tomb, and he went to visit his disciples. He went to visit these two men that were kind of, maybe say, discouraged about what had happened. They were walking along the road to Emmaus, a long walk, 2 miles, and they were talking about the things, and Jesus went there to visit them, to encourage them, to speak to them. Do you know that's the same with us? There's times when the Lord visits us special. Maybe we might be thinking some disappointing thoughts, and the Lord reveals to us. He speaks to us, and he gives us so much encouragement, and we don't want him to leave. You know, abide with us, Lord. Oh, that song, Abide With Me. If I've got that right, the minister that wrote that, they had told him he's going to die, and he went into his study and wrote that song, Abide With Me. Oh, and how that has fed our souls down through the years. Oh, you know, isn't it wonderful? When the Lord reveals to one, he reveals to others through that. When he inspires one person among us, that will feed us and each other. As we want to pray that the Lord will inspire the ministers, pray that way, that the Lord will talk to them so they can feed us, so they can give us what we need. We want the Lord to abide with us. We want his presence. We want his voice. If we don't have the voice of the Lord, we just don't have anything. That's the most important is for the Lord to speak to us. Oh, you know, those two said, when he finished out of your side, oh, they wanted him back. They wanted to hear him talk to them again. They realized their eyes were open. It is the Lord. Isn't that the way it is with us sometimes? The Lord speaks to us and we realize it's the Lord. It's the Lord talking to me. It's the Lord revealing this to me. And it's so precious. And it's just so wonderful. You know, it says their eyes were open and they knew him. And then he vanished out of their sight. And they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? You know, I believe Brother Warner wrote a song. It was something like, if only they knew, if only, oh, that was it. Say not, Christ is in your desert, for I can't believe thee not. Oh, you know. It's really sad that the sectism in the world says they know Christ and all they have is a desert. Don't tell me that Christ is in your desert, for I can't believe thee not, because Christ is not in the desert. Christ is alive. Like we heard this morning, you pay the full price and you have the fire of the Holy Spirit. He's in our heart. He burns within us. He's there, dear ones. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to be alive and vibrant and fervent for God and just filled up and overflowing. He wants the songs to be coming from just our heart, deep down. He wants to be inspired. He wants the songs to be inspired. He wants the prayers to be inspired. And they will be inspired when we get close to Jesus, when we ask him to talk to us. Do you ever do that? Do you ever just say, Lord, talk to me? Sure you do. Lord, reveal yourself to me. Give me something. Open up a scripture to me. Talk to me, Lord. I need you to talk to me. You know, we want the Lord to talk to us. We want the Lord to reveal himself to us. I want to read a list a little bit here about Peter in Luke 5. This was before Jesus died. First of all, he was calling his disciples and He saw two ships standing by the lake in the fifth chapter of Luke, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. I want you to just picture this scene. Picture this scene about these fishermen washing their nets, preparing to catch fish. And the Lord has something else in mind, and he wants to visit them. Isn't that the way it is with us? He wants to talk to us. You know, they were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now this, Peter is saying that they had been fishing all night and had caught nothing. Now this is the scene. But Jesus says, let down your net. This is the power of God. When we can do nothing, when we can catch nothing, when we are just frustrated, you might say, God can work. He can do anything. There's nothing impossible with God. And he said, but at thy word, I will do it. And it says, and they beckoned unto their partners. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Multitude of fishes now. When Jesus said, his voice, let it down. Great multitude. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They beckoned unto the partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Now just imagine this. Two ships, two boats full of fishes, and the boats are, ships are sinking. They got so many fishes in them. Just at the voice of God. This is powerful. Now I know this is just fish, but what I'm trying to say is anything, Jesus speaks and anything can happen. His voice is powerful. And spiritually speaking, he can give us a multitude of fishes, a multitude of blessings, a powerfulness meeting coming up. We can just break open the blessings of God. Just, do you have that anticipation? So it says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Or he was feeling so bad, you know, like, my, this is so great, this is your God, you're so great, you're wonderful, I'm just nothing. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I just give you this lesson that you can toil all night and won't catch nothing. When I bless you, you can get the fishes. But that's not what I want you to be after. I want you to catch men. Henceforth thou shalt catch men. They could understand that because their occupation was catching fish. So Jesus is trying to give them a lesson. Oh, you know, his voice I hear, which calms my fear. 'Tis I, be not afraid. So, you know, in St. John 21:5, here it comes. Jesus is with them. They're his disciples, and all this passes. And then Jesus dies. And Simon Peter is getting discouraged. And, you know, all this has happened. Jesus has been taken away. And so he's just going to do what he's used to doing. I'm just going to go fishing. And so he influences these other disciples. Well, we'll just go fish with you. So what does Jesus think? Okay, I'm going to have to go talk to my children and get them straightened out. because they're just going right back into this fishing thing again. And I want them to catch men. And so Jesus comes to them. Now, this is the risen Savior now. And he says to them, Peter says, I go fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Same things happening. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus at first. I put that in there. But then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. It's the Lord. You know, why is it that way with us sometimes? Why is it that we're just so human that we miss it at first? And then we're just, oh, okay, I know, I understand. This is the Lord talking to me. It's the Lord. And you know, it goes on to say, of course, he cast himself and put a coat around him. And then the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. But as there was 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. That's a lot, isn't it? I haven't been around fishing too much, so I don't know all about that. But, I think we could enjoy fishing. But, you know, we could just imagine 153 fish would be a lot, wouldn't it? And, we like to eat fish and all that. But, you know, this is just something the Lord is talking to them. He's trying to get a lesson to them. His voice, we're talking about the voice of God. And he says to them, Jesus said to them, come and dine. Now we have a little song that says, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. I love that song, but you may find,
I think that Jesus' table all the time.
Thank you, Sister Rosie. You may find a feast at Jesus' table all the time. This is what the Lord, his voice is saying, come and dine. You know, we know what it's like to eat a good meal and all that. But Jesus has got something for us greater. He's got a dining, oh my, he's got a supper table that's just full of every good thing you can think of. You think your favorite food right now and all this and desserts or whatever, just all spread on that table. Jesus has got something for us spiritually to feed us. That's really what he's trying to get over to them. But he says, come and dine now. And then he goes and says, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. He's so tender. He's so sweet. Jesus, isn't he sweet? Isn't he kind? Isn't he loving? Isn't his voice sweet? He came to his disciples not to sit there and reprove them harshly and why aren't you out preaching the gospel? What are you doing fishing again? You know, that's all we are sometimes with each other. What are you doing that way for? If we would just learn to be more like Christ, we can get lessons to people in a different way. But let's ask the Lord to help us. But you know, Jesus says, come and dine. He said, oh, let them have their fish. Let them have their bread. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. Jesus cometh, he taketh bread, he gave them. After that, he was risen from the dead. This is the third time that Jesus showed himself alive to them. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You got your fish. I give it all to you. 153. You sat here, you ate fish with me, you ate bread. This is good and all. But don't you love me more than this? Don't you love me more than these? They loved fishing. I'm sure they did. They enjoyed it. There's things in life that we are that way. We're all different personalities, but there's things that we just enjoy doing that's legal, that's okay to do. But we've got to love Jesus more. He comes and talks to us. He knocks at our heart. Don't you love me more than this? And he says here, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. And then he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now you know, sometimes the Lord's voice is just two or three words. Have you ever noticed that? It's not sometimes a long paragraph or a book or a big story, but the Lord talks to us sometimes in just a couple words. He doesn't really, you know, he just said, feed my sheep, Peter. If you really love me, you go do that. Oh, I just thank the Lord tonight for his voice. Don't you want the Lord to talk to us more, to inspire us more? I just love it when the Lord talks to us. May the Lord help us. Let's hear his voice when he talks to us. And that psalm that says, abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, Lord, abide with me. You know, the Lord wants to abide with us. Just like he did those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He wants to come talk to us. He wants our hearts to burn within us. You know, like we said earlier, and I know we people here, you know what I'm talking about. You know what it's like to have Jesus talk to you. And you know how sweet it is. And there's something about it that keeps you saved. It keeps you encouraged because you know it's the sweetest thing you've ever experienced. For God, the creator of the universe, the creator of me, creator of you and I, to talk to us. Little Samuel, you know, when he went to lie down and the Lord was talking to him, he got up in the middle of the night and he said, Eli, did you call me? He said, no, go back to bed. I didn't call you, child. He went back and he heard the Lord talk to him again, Samuel, Samuel. And went to Eli again. Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. He said, when you go back and lay down now, he said, I want you to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You know, this is the way we want to be. When the Lord talks to us, we want to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, and the Lord will help us. You pray for me that it will encourage you tonight to hear the voice of the Lord.